Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome to this hour together. I'm so delighted to be able to spend some time with you again today, and I hope that you've been listening in and that you are taking our challenge to develop 52 habits for healthy parenting. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a parent, a grandparent, a godparent, a bonus parent, or just you want to be a parent one day. These are habits that, if you're starting out early, will help you lay a foundation for great relationships with your kids. And if you are a grandparent, it is never too late to reinvest. And so I hope that you're listening in along those. You can find them on my social media at Dr. Nurse Mama. We have 5 habits that we have introduced so far. We're doing 1 a week. And yesterday I talked about stacking these habits, making them stackable and integrating them into each other. It's not another thing that you have to do. It's just making what you're doing better. It's about working smarter, not harder. So the things that we have worked on are praying, incorporating prayer more into your day, memorizing scripture. I am memorizing 52 verses this year, 1 a week. I'm sharing those with you on my social media, so you are more than welcome to jump in and join along. I've encouraged you to plug into a local church and to look at your level of engagement and to up that from wherever you are. I've encouraged you to listen to Christian music, to incorporate more worship music into your day. And yesterday we had a pretty good heart-to-heart about the health impacts of gratitude. Now, the ways that you can stack those habits are, like for instance yesterday, gratitude. Well, if you're already praying, it's easy to add in a sentence to thank God for what He's doing in your life. It's easy to memorize a scripture about gratitude. It's easy to listen to a worship song that incorporates a thankful spirit. See how this works? We are making it as easy as possible. And a lot of you, I know, may be thinking, well, this is a parenting show. Why are we talking about these basic things? Because, my friends, these are the things that are very simple, but not easy to incorporate. But I assure you, this is the secret sauce of healthy parenting. So starting to incorporate these healthy habits is a great thing to do, and I hope that you will do that. I also did talk yesterday about the COSA hearings that have happened on Capitol Hill and how to keep your kids safe online. So be sure to tune in tomorrow where I answer all of your questions on Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. But today I have a very special treat for you. You know that I'm a nurse. I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner. And today, my guest is a pediatric nurse. I just love talking to other nurses. If you were paying attention to the news, you'll see that our profession of nursing, was incredibly honored to receive, again, the award by Gallup of the most trusted profession. And we have held that title since 2001 when firefighters rightly received it. And that is something that's really important for me as a nurse and for nurses that are on here, to be a trusted voice. Today, I've got Allison Golden, and she is the creator of the online ministry Words Are Golden, where she champions women in their faith. She's a pediatric nurse, and she runs an online community for women called She Who Speaks Light. I don't know, that's got serious Anne of Green Gables vibes for me there. I'm loving it. And she's the author of the inspirational journal Words Are Golden. And get this, she is a nurse who is currently enrolled in seminary to obtain her master's degree of biblical and theological studies. Allison and her husband, Michael, partner in ministry at their local church in San Diego. Allison, we are just delighted to have you on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show today.
I am so honored to be here and can't wait to have a conversation with you today.
Well, I've been following you on social media for a while, and, you know, I think of the phrase, that she leaves a little sparkle wherever she goes. And that it feels like you on my social media feed. You know, you come across and you share such heartfelt parts of your journey. You know, you're very authentic in sharing where you are. And I have found such encouragement from you. So I would love for you to start by just telling us your story. What is your testimony? How did you come to know the Lord and get to where you are today?
Yeah, thank you so much for those kind words. Well, I praise the Lord. I did grow up in a Christian home, and so I was raised a Christian. I went to church, you know, every Sunday for the most part, and was involved in youth group growing up. And I would say, though, I didn't really start taking my faith seriously until, like, the end of high school, where I kind of, you know, just lived that double life in high school, of testing the waters and living just how I kind of wanted to in high school. But then at church, I was, you know, the church girl. And so it was really towards like the end of my senior year of high school where I was like, oh no, I want to live my life sold out for Jesus. And so I went off to college. I went to Point Loma Nazarene University here in San Diego, and I did 4 years there, got my bachelor's of science in nursing. And I would say that that's really where my faith started to take root and take ground. I really just began to learn more about what it meant to be in relationship with Jesus rather than just to know about him. You know, like there's that key difference in knowing about him, but then truly knowing him and having a friendship with him, a relationship with him. And so that's kind of where that began to take root. And then I never really pictured myself, you know, in ministry, going to seminary, writing for women, speaking and preaching God's word. That was never on my radar whatsoever. I thought I was going to be a nurse my entire life. So I graduated college and I got a job at our pediatric hospital here in San Diego. And I really enjoyed it. And I luckily started working before COVID hit, and so nursing for me luckily didn't like start insanely hard. Obviously, it's a difficult profession no matter what, but I luckily had a taste of what it was like before all of the stuff that happened in 2020. And so, yeah, I just saw myself being a nurse. My whole life, I was like, oh, maybe I'll go back to school and be a professor later on. Like, I don't think I want to do bedside forever. And so I was like starting to dream about like a year and a half after I'd had my job, like, okay, like what else do you have for me, Lord? Like, I know it's not just this. Like, I really feel like you're doing something else. And I began praying for a hobby that led to creating digital art, that led to a friend encouraging me to start an Instagram account, which led to my account Words Are Golden. And yeah, I just started sharing my faith on social media. Was still a full-time night shift nurse. But I kind of was having two jobs. It kind of turned into I started an Etsy shop and people wanted to buy prints of the things that I was creating. And I'm not doing that part anymore. But that led into writing books and writing a journal and devotional and then now writing another book. And so the Lord has just been so faithful. And all this, I've been doing this now for about 4.5 years, this, you know, sharing my faith on social media and writing. And it is just something like my faith has grown so much in the Lord, I would say, the past like 4.5 years. I feel like he's just not necessarily, like, he's obviously revealed his full self to us, but it's more he's opening my eyes to seeing him in so many new and beautiful ways. And so I'm on fire for the Lord right now, and I am feeling his stirring in so many people's hearts. And so it's just beautiful to be able to partner with him and be able to travel and speak and preach his word, but also still be in the world, in a real world job in the hospital. And I'm not there full time anymore. I'm there part time, but I love what I do as a nurse. And so just following his lead, and that's a little bit about my testimony, not going into all the nitty-gritty details.
Well, I love it. And I think that's so encouraging. And so if you're listening out there, there's a lot of takeaways from Allison's story and what she just said. And I think that Allison, you know, as parents, I mean, you graduated in 2018, so you're pretty young still and starting your nursing mm-hmm. career and your journey. And I think parents today who have kids who are your age or younger, they worry and they think, oh my gosh, you know, is it possible for our kids to grow up and to love God and to find joy in their life and serving, because the world is so dark. And this is really primarily what your platform is showing light and helping people to find that. So I think just hearing that that is your journey and that there are people like you out there, young people who are just, like you said, on fire for Jesus and really integrating their faith into their professional calling, that is really, really encouraging. And, you know, I think you and I should share something in common when we're talking about stepping out in faith on our platforms. And the truth is that faith is deeply integrated into the heart and soul of nursing. We do care mm-hmm. about people's spiritual health. And I'll share with you, Allison, when I first started on Instagram and social media and sharing my faith, you know, it kind of had mixed reviews. And there was one fellow nurse who reached out to me and said, you know, that she thought it was inappropriate that I was sharing my faith. And she shared that her faith was different, and she found my faith, honestly, the word that she used was offensive. And, you know, I thought about that and sat with that for a long time. And then I wanted to have a conversation with her. And so we did. And I said, you know, the thing is that your faith is so important to you, it prompted you to reach out to me. So that's such an important part of who we are, you know, that I can't not share that, because that would not be authentic. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I have heard you say, Allison, is this phrase, just a nurse. And you and I, like I said, share similar journeys of thinking, yeah, I thought that when I graduated. I thought as soon as I graduated with my associate degree, oh, I've arrived. Like, this is it. This is going to be the rest of my life. But then I had what I call but God moment, where you realize that your profession is simply a platform for your calling. And that's true whether you're a nurse or an engineer or a teacher or a mom or whatever it is, that is the truth. And so tell us about that part of your journey. Let's go back and unpack that a little bit more. How did you go from just a nurse, which nobody's just a nurse or just a mom or just a anything? How did you really start to integrate that?
Yeah, I actually was talking about this recently. I got to go back and speak to my alma mater last week. I got to, they have department chapels, and there was a nursing department chapel. And I had the honor of getting to pour into the nursing students. And, you know, I feel like there can almost be a lot of pride in getting to say, I'm a nurse, right? Because like you said in the beginning, like our profession is valued. Our profession is like so beautiful. And so there is this like almost pride in getting to say like, I'm a nurse, to answering the question, what do you do for a living? And so I feel like I was just so focused on that as my identity. Like I truly, for a while, thought I was just a nurse. Like that was who I was. And so honestly, the Lord inviting me into doing other things with him opened my eyes to the fact that, oh, like my job title is not my identity. Like my first calling is that I get to be an ambassador for Christ. Like he is leading me to speak his word wherever I go, to be a reflection of him wherever I go. But the means of doing that can change and shift. And so right now, the means in which I get to be a reflection of him is through being a nurse and through being an author and through being a wife and through being a friend and a daughter and all of these different things that we get to do. And so, yeah, I really did just struggle with for a while, like, oh, I'm just a nurse. Like, there's not much more value to my life. But then, like you said, but God has opened up my eyes and just revealed all these different areas in which he wants to use me and that he's planned to use me that I could have never planned to try to have myself do. And so, yeah, to anyone listening, like, you're not just a mom. You're not just a nurse. You're not just a work-from-home mom. You're not just a stay-at-home mom. Like, you have so much value to your life. You're first called to be an ambassador for Christ, and from there, you get to partner with Him in doing all kinds of things. It's not
Amen.
Just limited to one small thing.
Amen, Allison. And we are going to unpack a lot more of this when we come back. We're going to talk about her guide to make reading the Bible your number one priority. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Did you know the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of all abortions? Preborn Ministry continues to stand with women in crisis in their darkest hour and bring hope and life. After Marissa took the abortion pill, she immediately regretted it, but Preborn was there for her.
Look at that baby. Look how beautiful he is. Look at that. Abortion pill reversal actually works. Let's hear his heartbeat. Oh, look how strong it is. Oh, praise God.
By God's amazing grace, this baby was saved, but many more need our help. To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Hey friends, welcome back. And you are listening to a really heartwarming conversation that I'm having with a fellow pediatric nurse, Allison Golden. Allison is the creator of the online ministry Words Are Golden. She has an online community for women called She Who Speaks Light. And she's the author of the inspirational journal Words Are Golden. And she has a new book coming out that we are going to talk about. And I'm really excited about that. So, Allison, before the break, you were sharing your story of integrating faith into nursing and how God has called you, and you've had a but God story. You're not just a nurse. You are really nursing the heart and soul of your community that you're creating, which is an important part of our health. And I absolutely love that. I would love to know how you met your husband and what role he plays in influencing and supporting your ministry.
Yeah, my husband is the best. I literally just texted him, was like, tune in to American Family Radio if you can.
Yay, I love it. My husband's listening too, so I love it. We got to have the husband support.
Go husbands.
Go husbands.
Yes. So we met in college. We met, playing a wiffle ball game with friends. So fun. We just, started talking, and we just kind of hit it off, and we were just kind of like talking for a few months, and we started dating, and I knew he was the one pretty much right off the bat. What was interesting, though, was right when we started dating, so he was at Point Loma with me, and he was wanting to be a PA, a physician assistant, and so I was like, cool, like, that's such a fun job. And then literally, like,
medical missions, like, I'm already thinking medical missions, right? Like, is your mind going there? Yeah, we can just go on mission together. It'll be great.
Right. But then God, again, ended up having my husband switch his major to music ministry. So I went from thinking my husband, or not my husband at the time, but my boyfriend was going to be a doctor to a worship leader. And like, when I was growing up, I was like, I'm never marrying anyone in ministry. But there I was. So we dated for, I don't know how many years. We got married in July of 2019, though, so we're about to celebrate 5 years this year, which is so exciting. And what's so beautiful about our marriage is we got to help plant a church together right before we got engaged, and that is the church we're currently at and still serving at. So my husband has been the worship pastor there now for about 5.5 years. And I started out as our children's ministry director, and then I do our social media now. But he is the biggest supporter of everything I do. He is just always saying, chase your dreams. Like, if it's the Lord, yes, go for it. Like, he is my yes man, which is so just beautiful. because he has sacrificed so much of his time and work for me to be able to do what I do. And like when I wanted to go part-time for nursing, he was like, yep, if this is the Lord, then yes, of course, I'm full support. So yep, he's the best man out there, and I couldn't be more grateful for him.
See, I think if you're a parent listening to this and you have young adult children who are single, you should tell them to listen to this episode and say there are godly guys and girls out there who are looking for each other, you know, and who knows, like maybe God will use this program to help people find each other, you know, but I know that that happens. And I think that's so encouraging. And it must have been difficult, Allison, getting married, well, graduating in 2018, starting your nursing career, and then 2019, like the pandemic hit. So you're isolated, quarantined with a new husband, which that can be hard, even with all the good, best husbands, right? And you are dealing with COVID in your profession as a nurse, which I was right there in the trenches with you. So hard. What challenges did you face during that time, and how did God sustain you?
Yeah, I was struggling with my job a lot in that season. So we'd been married about 6 months, a little over 6 months when COVID hit, and I was already kind of struggling with my job. I just was, it started to just weigh on me more, just the patient stories, the difficult things that I was seeing. And I really had to just lean into the Lord. And I actually started reading a book by John Mark Comer called Garden City. So it's the book I recommend to everyone if they're doubting their job and their calling in life, essentially. But that book just really helped me remember that I get to partner with God in the work that I do. And even though it is hard, I am more than capable in his strength to be able to do these hard things. I can come to him after a shift and be like, Lord, like what I saw was heartbreaking, and I know that your heart breaks for that too. And just like knowing that his heart breaks for what I see too is comforting to me. And I would say, luckily, at a pediatric hospital, COVID wasn't insanely bad. Praise the Lord. Honestly, our census was actually down, surprisingly.
Right.
So it was an interesting time, but I still just feel like that was about the time where I had been a nurse for almost 2 years, a year and a half-ish. I don't remember exactly, but I was like, okay, like I'm in this. I'm comfortable as a nurse now. I'm confident in myself as a nurse now. And so just kind of like the weight of everything began to weigh on me at the time that COVID hit. So then being in isolation, not being around my friends as much was just like a hard thing to navigate. And I was really just doubting where the Lord had me, especially as I had these new passions arising in me to write and be creative and ministry and all this stuff. So I was just in a place of confusion, but the Lord was so faithful to remind me of why he had me there and what he was doing in and through me there. And so I kind of feel like I've had a few moments like that in my nursing career where, you know, I was really down, but then the Lord is like, nope, I have you here for a reason. You can trust me and lean on me for strength, and I'm going to work through you in only the ways that I can.
You know, that really resonates with me, because right now at my church, I'm doing a Bible study, a women's Bible study, and we're studying 1 Peter. And last night we were reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll start in verse 6. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And I was thinking about that as you were talking, Allison, and thinking at those hard times and trials in our life where God is often preparing us and giving us a skill set that we don't even know that we yet need. And then when that opportunity presents itself, we think, oh my goodness, I can see it now. I can see that you are preparing me for this moment. And I didn't know what I needed in that time or the character that I needed in that time. But God is so faithful to provide that through the trials we're experiencing. And so if you're listening out there and you're thinking, oh, things are hard. It is true. Things are really hard right now. It just seems like a hard season has turned into, you know, a hard time. But Allison, I want to make two points here. One is that, you know, you've been married about 5 years. I've been married about 25 years. And I think even just from this short conversation, I can tell you that both of us would say that Christ is the center of our marriage, and that is the only saving grace. That is it. And if you have that, what I have often told my husband or told other people about my husband is that I trust that my husband loves Christ more than he loves me. And I can trust that he is going to be obedient to Christ to honor our marriage. And even though he has human failures and flaws, just like I do, that is the security in our marriage. And I have to tell you, Allison, it's super heartwarming to hear you, as just starting out in marriage, having that same experience. So wanted to give you any last opportunity to say anything about marriage, especially to people your age who might be listening and thinking, I want that. Do you have any other advice for them on getting that?
Yeah, you know, I think back to how I was struggling with my job so much, and it was my husband who was like, Allison, like you were made to do this, but I do see, you know, how hard it is and how you are struggling and how your mindset is struggling. And something that I would say that is key for marriage that I've learned is not like hiding my feelings from him, because when I do, it just creates problems. But he's just been so kind and patient and with me in our marriage. But I've come to realize, you know, when I'm struggling with really hard thoughts about work, about myself, about things going on in the world, it's better that I voice them to him, because then he can speak truth and life over me in the places that I may be blinded when I'm just kind of consumed with dark thoughts or dark feelings and hardships. And so, yeah, anyone listening who's married, that has been something that's really, really helped me in my marriage. And just knowing that, you know, he, like, my husband wants to speak the Lord's truth over me more than I even do in those times that are really hard. And sometimes you need to just bring what you want to keep in your mind and in the dark into the light and out of your mouth into the world, so that someone can help you see the truth that God truly says over you when it's really hard.
Oh, I feel like I'm getting a little emotional, because this is just said something that is so deep and so personal and a longing for so many people. And if you don't hear Allison and I say anything else, hear us loud and clear that marriage isn't easy, but God redeems those broken places. And Allison, I said I wanted to make two points. The second one, and what you said, is that being prepared for a calling, and God was preparing your heart all during those COVID times and giving you a new skill set and giving you new opportunities. And now you do have a very large presence on social media. What has that experience been like in being public and sharing your faith and the burdens of being an influencer? Because there are burdens and responsibilities that go along with that if you're stewarding it as a platform that God has given you.
Yeah, you know, it's just crazy. It's such a wild thing to be sharing my faith on social media. Like I had said earlier, it's something I never, ever, ever envisioned myself doing. And now it's one of my greatest joys. You know, I think that there's obviously a lot of negative things about social media, 100%. But it's here. It's in the world. So how can we use it wisely? How can we use it to point to Jesus? How can we, like, use the actual benefits of it, right? And so that is kind of where my heart is with it. Like, the Lord has, you know, grown my social media presence. And so how can I be a good steward of the fact that there are a lot of eyes on me and the words that I speak? And so they hold a lot of weight and they can really impact people. And so it has just been so much fun to be able to do that. But at the same time, it's obviously very hard, because there's the wrestling with your flesh. Like, obviously you have to constantly fight the lies of the enemy and not let it become something that's prideful, not let it become something to where you are just consumed with numbers or metrics. And so I've definitely struggled with that in the past. And in those times, I've taken social media fast again, or my husband is like, Allison, I think you have an unhealthy relationship with social media right now. And so I'm like, dang it, I do. So I've just had to like listen to him. Like, he also has that outside perspective on my life, and he knows when I'm having an unhealthy relationship with it. And so there are so many pros and cons to it. I would say, though, more pros than cons for me and my life and just what the Lord has asked me to do. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I've struggled with the most, and definitely just like the lies sometimes too of like, oh, like nobody cares about what you say, or nobody's listening, nobody's seeing your post, so you should just stop. And obviously those are all thoughts and lies from the enemy and not thoughts of the Lord, because of course the Lord wants you to be faithful in where he calls you to. And I know that he's called me to have a voice on social media. And so, yeah, mixed emotion, but overall I do really love being able to do what I do on social media.
Well, you know, we hear so much about the harms caused by social media to young people today. And you know, the analogy that I've given before is that social media is like a car. It's not inherently a bad thing, but it can be used inappropriately and for great harm. And if people, kids especially, aren't prepared to use it, then obviously that can be a situation where there's significant risk. But there's a great side of it too. And so being able to share your faith and hear the positives of that, and seeing just the interactions that I personally witnessed you having online and sharing the hope of the gospel, that is important to remember too in a balanced discussion. And you know, one of the things that we are doing here in our community with Dr. Nurse Mama is we're encouraging people to develop 52 habits for healthy parenting, although as I said, it could be for anybody. And one of those is reading the Bible, memorizing scripture. Mm-hmm. And you actually have a free guide about how to make reading the Bible your number one priority, which is really exciting. So we only have about a minute till break. Give us a preview, and then when we come back, we'll talk more about it.
Yeah, I just have a heart for helping women be excited to be in God's word, because it is to be the number one priority in our life. His word is alive and active. And the more we know it, the more we're able to speak it over ourselves and speak it over others. And the more we know it comes from reading it and being in the word and making it a priority. So this guide, yeah, is to just help women get excited about reading the word and making it just a little bit easier and seem a little less daunting.
So if you're looking for a way to adopt that healthy habit, we'll tell you where you can find Allison's guide to make reading the Bible your number one priority. When we come back, we'll finish that discussion, and we're going to preview Allison's new book, and we're going to go to one of the most difficult days she faced as a pediatric nurse and how that changed her life. So you won't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends. Welcome back to this totally encouraging conversation that I'm having with fellow pediatric nurse Allison Golden. Now, she's the creator of the online ministry Words Are Golden, where she champions women in their faith. She runs an online community called She Who Speaks Light, and her new book that's coming out this month on February 20th is called Arise and Shine: How to Be the Light That Ignites Hope in a Dark World. And if you're a parent, you know that one of our greatest fears is that this dark world is just going to overcome and overwhelm our kids. And there are days where we get up and we think, how can we get up? How can we get up and do it all again and face all of the threats? And there are so many things that we're worried about with our kids. We're worried about social media. We're worried about fentanyl. We're worried about mental health and all of those kinds of things. And Allison, as a pediatric nurse, has seen those things as well and is still finding hope. So I hope that if you're a parent of a kid any age, that Allison will give you hope that she is finding a way to shine a light in a world, in a dark world. Well, Allison, before the break, we were talking about making reading the Bible your number one priority. I mean, that is pretty bold. That is bold, but I would agree. And I've got all the praise hands going for that. So tell us how we can find the guide that you created and what you've done to do this in your own life.
Yeah, so the guide is just on my website, which is wordsaregolden.com. And it is, I think it's on the homepage. If not, there is a resources tab, and it is there, and it's free. And it will be downloaded right to your phone or laptop right away. And, yeah, how I make reading the Bible number one priority in my life, obviously, there are days that I struggle. I'll just be honest. Like I'm human. I have fleshly and worldly desires. But for the most part, I would say that reading my Bible every day is a number one priority. And so that is carving out time in my day to – I prefer to read my Bible in the morning personally. I love to drink my coffee while I read my Bible. And so I just really do try to wake up at a time where I know I at least have about 30 minutes before I need to get my day started. And that has just been so life-giving to me. I notice the days that I skip. If I do skip a day and don't read my Bible in the morning, I feel like it really can affect the way I react to things, the way my thoughts I feel like are more negative sometimes even. And so, yeah, just really knowing that God's word is life-changing and alive and active and has the power to help me overcome any thoughts that aren't from the Lord. It's just so encouraging. But obviously, there are so many things that, well, first, Satan, it's the last thing he wants us to do is to read our Bibles. So that's why there's so many distractions. That's why we don't always want to. And so it's really just pushing past that and knowing the truth and the life and, yeah, just the joy that can come from when we prioritize our Bibles.
I could not agree more. And one thing that happened in our family when our oldest daughter went off to college, she got plugged into a local church, and they have a Bible reading plan that they send out by email. And she shared that with me and her dad. And it was actually a great measure of accountability. And she invited us to join in on the Bible reading plan. And so it was a great way to say, hey, did you read Numbers this morning? Did you read that passage of scripture? What did you think about this? And if, you know, you couldn't say anything or you hadn't read it, you were going to be caught. So it's a good measure, just a friendly accountability. But it also sparked some really great conversations in our family as we encouraged each other and spurred each other on to good works. And, you know, there are lots of different ways that you can do this. There is the YouVersion app, if you're not familiar with that. It's a devotional app that you can sign up for, and you can sign up for a plan on any number of topics that will come right to your phone every day. You can put your phone right by, you can put your Bible right by your nightstand table so that you see it in the morning. And Allison, I'm all about Jesus and the coffee. I know it's cliche. I know it's, you know, so silly, but yeah, I like weak coffee and strong Jesus. That's my thing in the morning. But I think that, you know, having these messages in our hearts are so important because these truths do come back. God's word does not return void, and it returns to us in those moments we need it. And as you were talking about your new book that's coming out, Arise and Shine, How to Be the Light That Ignites Hope in a Dark World, you open this book with a really tough story. And I do want to give our audience a warning that this is a traumatic event that that we're going to talk about, but something really important. And we're going to do that as nurses in a way that we refer to as trauma-informed. And Allison, can you share with us that moment that spurred this journey really for you of finding light in a dark world?
Yeah, so I had this book idea. The Lord had told me to write about light. And I was like, okay, Lord, cool. Like, how to reflect your light. Okay, I would love to write about that. And so I had this book idea, and then I had a night shift at work that I went into. you know, I pray every shift, before every shift, like, Lord, I'd love a good patient assignment. Would it be just like a peaceful night? Would you be with me, strengthen me, guide me, all of that? And so I walk in to our unit, and I see that I'm taking care of a patient that night that had been on our unit for a while, and I wasn't signed up to take care of them like some other nurses were signed up to. And some of those nurses that were signed up to take care of them were on shift that night. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to say anything. I'll take care of them. It's okay. So essentially, later on in the night, this patient, unfortunately, had really been struggling. And so the call light went off, and I walked into the room, and unfortunately, the patient was attempting to take their life, and praise be to the Lord that everything was okay. But obviously, there was a lot that needed to happen in that moment, and a lot of urgency, a lot of adrenaline, and obviously very traumatic. That's not something that you can ever prepare yourself to see. You can go to all the nursing school that you want to, but nothing can teach you how to cope with that or see something like that. And so, yeah, I was pretty, it was really hard. That's, I guess, all I'll say is obviously very hard. I luckily had a great supportive team with me that night who let me go home, because I realized after all the adrenaline subsided and everything was calm again that I was not okay. And I was like, Lord, where was your light in that situation? Like, where were you in that situation? Like, why was I the nurse that night? And so kind of just went down this road, right, of asking all these questions. And, you know, I really could have chosen to walk away from the Lord, or not fully walk away, but just, you know, choose to kind of like be really mad. And not that it was wrong to be mad at him, but, you know, just really could have not leaned into him. But I felt him inviting me into studying his light. And I just felt him kind of say, like, Allison, my light was in you that night. Like, you have my light in you. And in Matthew, it says you are the light of the world, not just it. Jesus says you are the light of the world. And we know that Jesus is the light of the world. And so because as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit within us, we carry the light of Christ. And I just felt him say, like, my light was in you. Like, you carry my light everywhere that you go, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it, and even when you don't recognize it. And so, one, my light was in you, and I was with you, guiding you every step of the way that night. And so, yeah, the Lord just opened my eyes into this new way of seeing his light, and the fact that we are literally carriers of the light of Christ. And all Satan wants to do is for us to forget that, for us to feel overwhelmed by the darkness in the world, for us to think that light hasn't won, but light has already won. The light of the world has overcome all darkness and defeated all darkness, and that is what we get to stand confident in. And so I obviously would never wish for anyone to experience what I experienced, but now I truly am thankful because what the Lord taught me, and now this message that I'm getting to share with the world, that, yeah, the world is dark and there is darkness, but it has not won. Light has won. Jesus has won. And that is within every single one of us as Christians. Don't get me started.
Go. Amen. I'm telling you, all the praise hands. Yes, yes, and amen. Honestly, Allison, that is so encouraging and exactly what you need to hear, because I can't imagine that moment. You know, well, actually, I say that, and I can, because I have experienced that myself as a pediatric nurse in places where you think children are the most safe. You know, they have these threats even that come from the darkness
within that just threatens to overcome our souls. And it's so encouraging to hear you say that, no, God made me to be the light. And those kinds of things are just exactly the kinds of messages that we need to hear. And one of the things I have in reading a preview, getting a sneak preview of your book, you recount this a few weeks or months maybe after this incident happened. You talked about a really pivotal conversation with your mom. And I want to talk about that. Tell us about it.
So I was kind of, she told me to go and be the light that night. So it was, a few weeks after, I had had that incident. And then it was another hard shift that I had had. And I was going back to work and I was like, I don't know if I can go back to work. Like, this just feels so hard. Like, not only am what I am seeing so devastating and traumatic, but at the same time, like, the morale on the unit is down. And so it's just hard to be around negativity, right? And so I was telling my mom this, and she was like, I'll be praying for your shift that the Lord's going to strengthen you to do what he's called you to do. And she said to go and be a light tonight. And I was kind of just like, what? Like, be a light? Like, has she even been listening to me? That is the last thing I feel like doing right now. Like, how can I even be a light to others when I feel overwhelmed by the darkness? And so that conversation kind of just like propelled me again into studying, like, okay, why am I feeling this way? Like, you know, people say give God your burdens, but like, how do we actually do that? And so I really just began to study in the Bible what the Lord says about light and how his light truly overcomes everything. And we can stand so confident in that truth. I feel what you feel right now to those listening. I feel how we can ask those questions. Where is the light? Is the darkness ever going to go away? Like, how do I do this? How do I make it through? Read the book. But there is so much hope in Jesus. There is so much hope. We can put on the full armor of God. We can lean into his truth and begin to write it on our heart and speak that truth that is light into every dark place that we go to.
Amen, Allison. Well, what is it like now that you've written this book? What is your conversation like with your mom now, knowing that her words of encouragement to you, her biblical admonition to you, has directed you to read this book? What was that like?
Yeah, I definitely, like, I call my mom on my way to work all the time. So she always, speaks the Lord's truth over me, which is so sweet. And so even when it is, like, a lot of times, you know, we can, like, hear truth and we're like, oh, but I don't believe it, but I don't believe it. It's choosing to say, like, okay, I may not believe it right now, but it's still truth. It's still the Lord's truth, the ultimate truth. And so even though I don't believe it, I'm still going to speak that over myself until I believe it. And so that's so beautiful about my relationship with my mom, is that she is always so encouraging to me with biblical truth.
Well, you heard it straight here from Allison Golden, pediatric nurse and author. She says nothing, not even ourselves, can keep God's light from shining in a dark world. You can find her at wordsaregolden.com, and you can pre-order her book that comes out on February 20th. It's called Arise and Shine, How to Be the Light That Ignites Hope in a Dark World. And we're going to have her back on to talk more about the book and the light that she has found. So tune in next time. Allison, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. This was so fun and such a joy and an honor.
Absolutely. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.